You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I just kind of euphemistically nicknamed it Rolling the Dice. But there's a long history in this state of dealing with this issue. And again, it's not like we haven't had referendums on lottery before. They failed. It's not like we haven't had an opportunity for, you know, bad actors to turn the corner and do good. They've chosen not to. It's not like we haven't had people go to jail in major scandals regarding casino operations in the state of Alabama. And it's not like our attorney general hasn't just in the last week even announced basically, you know, victory on the part of his people for busting and shutting down illegal gaming operations. It does not mean that you just abdicate your authority. Regulation is sometimes in the form of law, and the law in this state right now says no. Until that law is changed, it's supposed to be a no, and it's supposed to be enforceable. Now, somebody who knows that better than probably anybody in the state right now is my friend Brian Taylor. Brian Taylor, former state senator, served from the Prattville area for a term when we were together down in Montgomery. He is a former JAG officer with duty overseas, and he's also, by the way, now a candidate for the position of Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. With that being said, let me call him in here. Brian Taylor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, thank you, man. And listen, I didn't mention in my opening there, you actually served for two governors. You were a senior advisor, if I recall, for Governor Riley, and you were a chief legal counsel for Governor Riley, and then chief legal counsel for Governor Ivey. I feel certain that you have dealt with gambling laws, and I know you did as a legislator. Probably one of the key examples of seeking to enforce the laws was Governor Riley. Talk about your time there.
Yeah, well, you know, Riley is remembered by a lot of people precisely because of this issue, and it happened towards the end of his administration, or at least that's what a lot of people think. Most people are not aware that the gambling issue actually predates by many years this dispute over what is electronic bingo. Is it bingo or slot machines? That's really the issue that we've been dealing with for the last 10 years or so, is this issue of whether these slot machine-like games are actually playing bingo within the meaning of the law. But prior to that, the state won a lawsuit all the way up to the Supreme Court, the Alabama Supreme Court, in 2000, I believe it was 2006. The racetrack in Birmingham was operating slot machine-like games, but not calling it bingo. They were calling it sweepstakes machines.
Oh, yeah.
And the court in that case really kind of laid down the law, repeated what it had said before. The court said the Alabama Constitution prohibits gambling in all of its protean shapes, which, you know, is highfalutin lawyer language for it doesn't matter, you know, how many different ways you slice it or cut up the machine or change the process. If it's gambling, it's illegal under the Alabama Constitution. So that case was won, and a lot of people thought that was going to be the precedent. You would think that would be the precedent. The court was very clear about that. But the next shape that it came through was this idea of bingo. And the reason that happened is we already had a number of constitutional amendments in, I want to say, 17 or 18 jurisdictions across the state authorizing nonprofit charitable bingo. This was primarily intended. These amendments were adopted so that the local Catholic church or the, you know, whatever charity could have a bingo night, paper card bingo, and raise money that way without violating the law. Well, the slot machine manufacturers got smart on that, and they said, well, if we just design our slot machines to reach an outcome based on a fast 6-second game of bingo, then it will be bingo under these constitutional amendments, and we can open up casinos.
A 6-second game of bingo. That's great.
Yeah, 6-second. A lot of people remember, you know, if you had an old Windows computer, you remember playing solitaire on your computer, and you could press a button to make it play itself, and it would play like a 15-second game of solitaire all by itself. That's essentially the way these machines worked, is you press a button, and to the user, it's a slot machine. The player doesn't know really any different, but inside the circuitry, allegedly, these machines would do a fast-paced game of bingo. So all of a sudden, these fly-by-night casinos started popping up all over the place. Walker County, in particular, was overrun by these casino operations. Hundreds of machines would be rolled in the middle of the night to an abandoned strip mall store, and they would begin to operate and advertise it as electronic bingo. Well, at the time, Senator Bishop from Walker County came to see Governor Riley and said, "We got to do something. This is killing Walker County's economy." He said, "This isn't economic development. This is just money changing hands. Nobody's producing anything. It's leading to corruption and crime. And Governor, we need your help." So you may remember the governor reached out to Attorney General Troy King at the time, and Attorney General King took the position that this was electronic bingo and that it was legal under these constitutional amendments. Now, Governor Riley disagreed with that, and so he set up his own anti-illegal gambling task force, appointed a special prosecutor who began to go after these facilities. And the first one was Whitehall in Lowndes County.
Yeah, that's
that
right,
case Whitehall. Went up to the Alabama Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled, no, this is not bingo. This is not bingo as authorized by the constitutional amendment. These are more like slot machines, and they're illegal under Alabama's constitution. So that went on, and the task force, Governor Riley's task force, shut down a number of establishments across the state. Ultimately, the penultimate casinos, of course, Green Track and Victory Land, very, very large, almost Las Vegas-style casinos with hotels. The doors were closed because of the Supreme Court's decisions. And that's when the casinos began to try to push legislation to legalize it. You may remember the Sweet Home Alabama bill is what they called it.
Oh, yeah.
To make it popular with folks. And that bill ultimately, the vote buying that was going on behind the scenes ultimately led to at least one casino owner going to jail, and it was just and that was a federal case. That wasn't even a state court case. Those were federal crimes that were alleged in that case. So,
yeah, and Brian, let me jump in there real quick.
That's how it all started.
Yeah, but let me jump in there too. We found out that not only was there potential corruption among legislators and other officials in the state, we also found out that at one point that the McGregors owning Victory Land were actually paying the staff of the Republican caucus to tell him what was being said inside the caucus meetings, because they had their hands into everybody, into everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, not only that, you recall that there was a member of the Legislative Reference Service.
Yes.
Who a staff employee at the Legislative Reference Service, who is supposed to be a neutral writer of bills, of laws. And it turned out there was evidence that he was receiving paychecks from Victory Land. Don't quote me on that. It's been a long time, but I believe it was from Victory Land.
It was.
And was arguably, I think the allegation was that he was writing legislation favorable to Victory Land. Of course, the legislators whose bills he was writing didn't necessarily know that. And unfortunately, he was going to be a key witness for the prosecution in the trial, and he turned up dead.
Yeah,
just a few days before the trial.
Yeah, died of a mysterious heart attack in the dark of night, with no health concerns. Listen, yep. Man, I tell you what. Before we go to the break, though, I got to say that one of the things that really strikes me, and you mentioned it, is that Governor Riley saw it as a leadership issue. If his AG was not going to go ahead and pursue a crime that he believed was happening and that the courts were saying was happening, I mean, the actual Supreme Court was saying crime, he chose to form a task force and pursue it basically on his own if he had to, and that's what y'all did, correct?
Yeah, we opened up the Code of Alabama, and we found a statute that authorized the governor to appoint a supernumerary district attorney. That's basically a retired district attorney to prosecute any case. And you know, that was a really interesting time, Phil, because not only was the electronic bingo dispute an issue, but it also raised this constitutional issue of the powers as between the attorney general and the governor. And Attorney General King took the position in the Supreme Court that he was the attorney general and he was the decider of the law and what should be prosecuted and what shouldn't be. And the governor ended up winning in the Supreme Court because the Constitution says the governor is the supreme executive officer, the chief executive. And so the Supreme Court said, well, it's true that the attorney general has authority, statewide authority, to prosecute crimes, but the governor is the chief executive and the supreme executive power. He also has the ability to bring cases in court and to appoint a district attorney to do that for him.
Wow, it's an amazing time, and it I tell you what, and it just bugs me right now that we have so many in positions of leadership and authority around the state right now who have either A, chosen to forget those days, or B, want to forget those days, you know, or C, they don't have any clue about those days. They don't know the fights that were underway back in the day. And the people that went to jail and the things that happened, but that being said, Brian, with a couple of minutes left here, let me just say, I mean, you're looking at being potentially the next Chief Justice of our state Supreme Court. The rule of law has to mean something. I've been arguing before you came on the line with us that if the laws are what they are, it is not your choice to simply choose whether to enforce them or not. Your job is to enforce them if that's your role, because you swore a duty to do so. Until such time as the laws are changed. Am I correct in saying that? How do you feel?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I think you talked about this a little earlier, Phil. This is a rule of law issue. However you feel about gambling, whether you're for it or against it, this is about the rule of law. And the courts have to apply the law as it's written. We as lawyers and judges will have to deal with that law as it's currently on the books, not how some people want it to be, not how a vote may or may not go in the future. But the law on the books is very clear now, and the Supreme Court has ruled on this no fewer than 16 different times. Literally, in the last 10 years, I think there have been 16 different cases in which the court has said these slot machine-like games are not legal in the state of Alabama. They're unconstitutional. And so far, the legislature and the people of Alabama have not changed that law. So the Supreme Court's precedent is very clear on this. And they've had plenty of times to revisit the issue, and they've maintained the same stance year after year.
Well, I knew you'd have perspective. And, I mean, you and I have had discussions before, and we dealt with it when we were both in the legislature together. And I suspect this issue is not going to go away anytime soon. The reality is, though, in the middle of all of it, depending upon how you feel about gambling, you still have to recognize there's a leadership question here and a position you have to take on how you feel about the rule of law. Listen, Brian Taylor, you've got incredible history with this, and thank you for your service to the state. If folks want to know more about who you are and how to find out about your campaign, where can they find you?
Sure. They can go to my website, briantaylor.com. That's B-R-Y-A-N, taylor.com. All the information you need to know about me is right there. And would love to come on your show and talk about this some more. I could go on for hours talking about the history. It's really a fascinating story how this has unfolded over the last decade.
I'm pretty sure if anybody could write a book on this, you could, man. All right, Brian Taylor, we appreciate you as always. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. All right, Boomer, we'll take the break right now. We'll take it. I ran a little long. We'll come back and have very little time. But then coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll switch gears entirely. Let's go over to diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. And we're going to have State Senator Arthur Orr on the line to discuss some recent comments he made about holding some people accountable with the power of the purse. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, it is dumping down rain over here in northeast Alabama. I hope it is getting some wetness over where y'all are at some point, because a lot of crispy grass around the northern part of the states, this heat we've been having. Hey, listen, one story we're tracking that I've not been able to see any clarity on. There's been nothing given. I take it back. There's something brand new. So University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, UNC Chapel Hill, has been on lockdown with an order for everyone to shelter in place because there was an active shooter event of some type. And they've just given the all clear. So first time I've mentioned it, but as I mentioned it, that story appears to have been clearing up. I don't know if they caught the guy, if they determined it was a non-issue or what, but the reality is UNC Chapel Hill had a shelter-in-place order. Students were being evacuated in some areas, and they've now been given the all-clear and told to resume their normal activities, so we're glad to hear it. Several things on the scales here with us. Let me see what I got. Plenty of text messages. Coming up in a few minutes, by the way, we will have State Senator Arthur Orr. We're going to catch him while he's traveling and get him on the line, talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. But some of the text messages I just got, let me grab some of those. Allie from Athens says, Senator, Colonel, Pastor, friend, you are on fire. She said, you've made some of the best presentations on the problem with casinos and gambling and the whole shooting match that I've ever heard. Well done, sir. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Steve from Tennessee, regarding, the letter by State Representative Andy Witt saying that he had been instructed to do this research, said he was instructed to research by who? Well, apparently one of the other articles that I've got indicates that he might have been instructed by the Speaker of the House. TL from Huntsville says there is plenty of data around that supports that shows that casinos increase crime and lower property values in surrounding neighborhoods. Says, I predict lawsuits if they get, he calls them NIMBY lawsuits. That stands for not in my backyard. Not in my backyard lawsuits if they get a gambling bill through. So any bill should include a provision that the gaming facility goes next to Andy Witt's house. Oh wow. And by the way, we're going to get him on the show hopefully later this week. Maybe he'll come on, provide some, well-intentioned clarity, and we'll understand better where he's coming from. But so far, everything he's saying is just, it ain't working. Francisco from Huntsville. Hey, guys, what's the real reason Alabama doesn't have a legalized gambling and lottery? I've been told that corruption would be a reason why we don't change the law and legalize it. Isn't it corrupt by keeping gambling illegal and circulating the fines and penalties from the money and earned with the state government? No, it's not. It says it's a travesty that Alabamians spend millions outside the state because of these petty laws. Well, they're not petty if they're laws. So, Francisco, basically, if the law was passed through a duly enacted act of the legislature and voted upon by the people to be included in the state constitution and then denied for further votes later on because they don't want to change it, there's nothing about it being petty. What's petty is calling it petty. But I'll say this. The idea that it's hard for someone to buy a lottery ticket just means they don't want to drive to Georgia. If you want to say that we need the money, well, then explain to me why we need the money on top of budget surpluses that we've had in the last few years. Just saying. All right, plenty more where that came from. We'll have State Senator Arthur Orr on the line right after this. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.